Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game, final hour of the show. Derek Mason on vacation this week. Caroline Fenton finally officially announces this morning where she is headed next, and that is to Yahoo Sports. Congratulations to her. Willie Donick here with you. My special guest star host this week. Last week it was Hal Gill when we had Elliot Friedman on. This week, Adam Vingan is in studio with us, and we have been setting the table for the week ahead, which is going to be very, very special. We had, of course, a great Game 7 for the Stanley Cup Final to kick off the week, and now everybody looking at the draft and free agency coming up on Monday. So, without further ado, we bring on Elliot Friedman, who I am sure has been on fumes right now, working on adrenaline with all the plane trips and all the information he's tried to gather, but we're really glad to have him in here. So, Elliot, I got another good wingman today in Adam, who you know well. Of course, he's now a contributor to Sportsnet, so you guys are sort of like colleagues or co-workers now in some sense. So say hello to Adam.
Well, first of all, I don't know that he brags about that. He probably wanted to keep that under the radar. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good, Elliot. Good to talk to you. I have to ask, how many airline miles have you racked up since the game one of the Stanley Cup Final?
Well, you know what? I was very fortunate, Adam, that I flew on a charter during the Stanley Cup Final. So I am like a true reporter. I am trying to get those airline miles to count.
So right, double dip.
Get credit for those. But, you know, since the Stanley Cup Final ended, not that anyone wants to hear my travel problems. So Game 7 was Monday. Tuesday morning to go home, I flew 7 a.m. Fort Lauderdale to Chicago, then Chicago to Toronto, got home at 6 p.m. Yesterday morning, I flew 6:15 a.m. Toronto to New York City for the Board of Governors meeting, and I was supposed to leave out of Newark to Vegas at 8:20. We took off at 12:45. I got out of the hotel at 4 a.m., and there is no caffeine left in Vegas. I got through it all.
Goodness.
We appreciate everything that you do for us, Elliot. So
please, you know what? It's not like I'm curing cancer or doing brain surgery.
No.
And this can be handled, yes.
So let's talk about what the Predators could do over these next few days, because obviously we're paying attention to that. But even so, they're one of the more fascinating teams heading into this active part of the offseason. Barry Trotz has intimated on this station many times that he expects to be busy. They're flush in cap space. A lot of draft picks they can use as ammunition for trades. Should we expect a splashy, headline-grabbing move from Barry Trotz over the next few days? And if so, which player or players should we keep an eye on?
I think we dropped. We lost Elliot for a second. We'll have to get him back on the line here.
But I'll have to. He's leaving me on pins and needles.
That's right. There'll be a dramatic pause as we get back Elliot on the line here.
But
either that or the caffeine has run out and he just fell asleep, which I don't think so. The line is not connected here.
No, it's possible. But that sounds like quite the whirlwind trip for Elliot.
Because I think we even had some texts on the line here on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Saying, oh, what if they don't? It'll be so disappointing if they don't, after all of this buildup, make significant moves. But I'm pretty confident one way or the other that there will be significant moves.
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing what Elliot has to say. I think Connor's got him on the line. Let's see. I'm bated breath here waiting for Elliot Friedman, but he's back. All right, Elliot is back.
So finish your question there.
So, right? Elliot, in case you didn't hear, I because of all of this intrigue about the Predators, Barry Trotz has intimated that they could be active. They have a ton of cap space. They have a lot of draft capital.
Yeah.
You know, should we expect a headline-grabbing move from the Predators over the next few days? And if so, which player or players that could be available on the trade market or are available in free agency should we keep an eye on?
Well, I do think he will try. I think that it's whether it comes at the draft or it comes at the free agency. I think it could be either one. I think there's a player that a lot of people are linking with Nashville in the free agent world is Chandler Stephenson. He's a center from Vegas, really good player, key member of their Stanley Cup champion team last year, and a guy who played for Barry in Washington before he was traded to Vegas. They know him very well. Vegas has been unable to sign him to this point. And I think if he gets to the market, Nashville would be one of the teams on his radar. Or the Predators will be one of the teams on his radar. The other player I've wondered about, excuse me, guys, I've smoked about four packs of cigarettes in the last day in airplane fumes. but another player I've wondered about for the Predators is Brady Shea, defenseman from Carolina. Either him or Brett Pesce, but you know, you've lost Ryan McDonagh. You're going to be looking to. I don't know what's happening with Alexander Carrier, so you guys might have a hole on the blue line you got to look at. I think that either Shea or Pesce, probably Shea more likely than Pesce, we'll see, but he's on your radar. And I think the other guy someone told me to look out for the other day as a center is Ross Colton, who's it's an interesting one. His name is new to the trade market. I think that he's got a no trade clause that kicks in on July 1st, and Colorado needs some flexibility. He's a good player. I mean, you guys saw him face to face the bubble year when he was in Tampa and you guys were in the same division. I do think Ross Colton could be a player on, or is a player on, Nashville's radar. So those would be four names I would probably keep an eye out on.
Speaking of one of Ross Colton's former teammates, we're waiting to see what happens with Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay, a big decision they have to make there. You know, there have been reports that he could hit the market. He's been connected to the Predators. If that were to happen, what are we looking at on a Steven Stamkos contract? Because we talked with Shayna Goldman earlier in the show. We talked about a shorter-term deal, 2-3 years with a larger cap hit. But I'm sort of in this I'll believe it when I see it mode with Steven Stamkos. I know he was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, he was publicly upset at the beginning of last season that they weren't unable to figure out a new contract last summer when he was eligible to be re-signed. So there might be some hard feelings there perhaps. So what do you think about that? Do you think Steven Stamkos actually makes it to market? And if the Lightning want to re-sign him, they're going to have to shed some salary. Who could be on the way out of Tampa if they are going to try to fit Steven Stamkos back into their cap?
Well, I think that Tanner Jeannot is someone who could be moved. I think that one's kind of been brewing for a little bit of time. I've heard his name out there, and that's a name that you guys know very well, obviously. So I think that he is a player on the market. This is the Stamkos thing. Adam, I tend to think about it the same way you do. If you go back, now, first of all, you're right. I think that Stamkos has been disappointed that, you know, if you take a look at some of their key players, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, Hedman, they've always gotten their Braden Point. They've always gotten their situations done ahead of time. Stamkos has always had to wait. Like, if you go back to the last time he signed his 8-year contract, he decided to sign it or like just days before free agency, and they didn't budge. They offered him 8x8.5, and they never budged. Like, Steve Yzerman was the GM at the time. He never budged. And finally Stamkos said, yes, I'll take it. Now, I think that Tampa has offers on the table. I've heard wildly differing reports as to what they are, so I'm not 100% sure. I think at this point in time, obviously, Stamkos is unsatisfied what's out there. But they're definitely it now. And the one thing I believe that's 100% true, Adam, is that teams want to talk to him. I think that you guys want to talk to him. I think that Detroit wants to talk to him. If Vegas can't sign Jonathan Marchessault, I think that he would be the kind of guy that Vegas might want to talk to. But I think the sense everybody has is he really going to get the free agency? Because of what happened last time, and he just said, okay, I'll take what Tampa wanted, everybody needs to kind of be convinced here or to see here that the same thing won't happen again this time.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. And Elliot, one of the things that I've thought about a lot is if you look at all the avenues Barry Trotz can go, packaging draft picks, a lot of prospects, a lot of cap space. Adam, I have been using the analogy this week. He can shop in pretty much any store. If he wants to go to Rodeo Drive for big name guys, he can do that. If he wants to go to Kmart, obviously you can do that. Some teams don't have all those options, but I'm curious how you try to prioritize and strategize when everything's going to go down quick on Monday. Or obviously there could be a move or two before then. But yeah, like you said, hey, I want to wait and talk to Stamkos. But then maybe in the 11th hour, Stamkos stays. So you have to have your game plan going, right?
Yeah. Yes, you do. I mean, that, you know, Willie, like, it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Right.
Especially the players will tell you that too. Now, you may be shocked to hear this. I think there's all sorts of tampering going on all the time.
No.
I think people have stop. Don't say it's true. I think there's all sorts of tampering going on all the time. I think that generally people know what the markets are and who's interested in what, and you know what certain players can get or where they can go. But players have told me, like, you know, that those first moments on July 1st, especially if someone calls you out of nowhere, it's crazy. Like Jeremy Roenick, who just went to the Hall of Fame, he's told a great story before about one year he was a UFA. It was the summer of 2001, and he was thinking of going to Detroit. They got permission to talk to him in advance. He went to Detroit to visit. They offered him like a great 5-year deal. He was thinking about going, and while he was in Detroit, he got a call from the Flyers saying, "We're going to offer you 5 years, $7.5 million a season, but we got to know in the next 15 minutes. And if you don't take it, we're not giving it to you." And he took it. I don't know how often that happens anymore, but it can happen. And I think, I think that Trotz knows there's a chance he'll have a shot at Stevenson. I think he knows that he could potentially get Colton right now. Like, that's one of the things I think you're weighing if you're Trotz. Like, if you're looking at that, you can say something along the lines of, hey, I know, you know, do I want to strike now or do I want to risk not getting either? And that's one of the things you weigh, guys, is, you know, if you don't do so, I always prefer to be motivated by I can do something as opposed to I'm scared an outcome could happen. But you have to be aware of both.
Elliot Friedman is with us. It's interesting you mentioned Jeremy Roenick because, as you can imagine, we had a really interesting discussion about Shea Weber and David Poile being inducted into the Hall of Fame or being named as Hall of Famers. We knew David Poile was going to make it eventually. That was a no-brainer. Yeah. We had some great discussions and reflecting on Shea Weber. I'll be honest, I didn't know until I was listening to you and Jeff Merrick on the pod discussing it that Shea Weber was even eligible for a Hall of Fame because his contract is still technically active. It's now traveled to Utah with the Coyotes organization that's no more. But that's always been kind of a thing. So I didn't even know this was up for discussion. So it kind of took me by surprise. Not only because of that, but also I think Adam and I were kind of shared in the – we weren't sure he was going to get on right away. But I guess when you take his career with the Predators, that's one lens. But the international accolades – and his history, brief history with Montreal, being the captain, that carried a lot of weight as well.
The one thing I think everybody has to remember is that the same people don't vote for awards and the Hall of Fame. The awards are voted for, especially the Norris, the media, and the Hall of Fame is voted for by the 18 members of the Hall. So I actually think awards and things like that are almost irrelevant, because it's not the same voters. And as I said on the pod before Weber got in, I thought he had a great chance of being eligible of getting in the first time, because he's like a lot of the people who are on that hall, if you could ask them who's a defenseman they would love to have on a team, I bet you every single one of them would have picked Shea Weber. And you have to understand who's voting. You know, the same thing happened, by the way, with Chris Pronger. I believe he was still under contract when he went into the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I can understand why you didn't think of that, but I remembered that particular case, so I wasn't surprised. And I'm really happy for Weber. I think he's very deserving. I think he's an excellent first ballot choice. He 100% deserves to go in, and I'm dying to see how that guy puts together a three-minute speech. You get 3 minutes. I have never seen him talk for 3 minutes straight.
It's funny. He's about to do a Zoom with the Nashville media here at the bottom of the hour. You could probably get in on this, Elliot, if we time it right. But I'm curious to hear that because you're right. Shea Weber, the least favorite thing he does is talk about himself, as we know. So that's an ongoing thing.
Yeah. That's. But, you know, I love it. I think he's very deserving. And all the players he played against would agree with you. He's still there.
Elliot, I want to ask about a player I heard mentioned first in the conversation you had with Jeff on the podcast, and there has been reporting since then that has fleshed out the situation, and that's Rutger McGroarty, the Winnipeg Jets' top prospect.
It
seems like things are at an impasse, and it appears he could be on the move. What could a McGroarty trade look like? Because when Willie and I talked about it, the first thing that popped into mind was the Cutter Gauthier situation earlier in the regular season, being traded from Philadelphia to Anaheim. Another high pick, not happy with his situation, but I'm sure a lot of teams are going to be interested in McGroarty as a 20-year-old with a tremendous pedigree, both in college and on the international stage. What is it going to take for a team to pry him out of Winnipeg if the trade is the way it goes?
Well, I think Winnipeg doesn't have a pick in the first round this year. I think their earliest pick is 37. They traded their first-round pick to Montreal for Sean Monahan. So I think if Winnipeg could get back into first round, and the higher the better, obviously, Adam, I think that they would consider that. I've also wondered if he could be part of a bigger deal. That is something else that I've wondered about. You know, I think they've been linked a bit to Natchez. I think that they've had some Ehlers talks with Carolina. We'll see if that one goes anywhere, but maybe McGroarty would be part of something like that that could get them a better return. I think the McGroarty thing went sideways at the end of the year last year. I think the Jets wanted him to go pro, but I think he wanted, I don't know if guarantee is the right word, but I think he would have wanted to play in the regular season this year and maybe a shot at the roster next year. I don't know that Winnipeg saw the same thing, and their paths went sideways at that point. I just think that if they could use him to get into the first round, and like I said, the higher the better, I think they would love to do that.
Now, stop me if you've heard this one before, but Mitch Marner is in the news.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I know, Adam,
I compared it today to, like, cooking with a pot of hot water, and it could spill on you at any second. And it often does.
Yes, it does. That's why I don't do any cooking in my household. But I know that Bradtree Living has been asked about it a ton. He didn't give much away yesterday when discussing it, but we all feel like this is going to come to a head at some point. Of course, Marner holds full control over his situation, so anything the Leafs want to do, he has to be a part of. But could we see any progress in this in terms of a potential trade be made over the next few days, even if something doesn't happen, even if he's not moved? But could we see the steps toward that transpire over the next couple of days?
You know, I think that they have had talks with him with other teams, but he has a no-move clause. He controls this. And I don't know how interesting, like, I don't know how interested he's going to be to doing it. And also, I don't think it's impossible that they offer him a contract for next year. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll get an extension done. I think he's going to ask quite a bit. But Marner has control over the situation. And anything that happens is going to happen with his approval.
Elliot, along those lines, what do you think the strategy is with the Oilers and Draisaitl as they still sort of decompress from Game 7? Because they want to know, I'm sure, down the road, how they're going to strategize the next deal for both Draisaitl in 2 years, and then McDavid is his deal eventually expires.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Willie, this is that negotiation right now. Like, Draisaitl is going to want to know what McDavid's got to say, thinking, and vice versa. Like, this isn't just a Draisaitl negotiation now. It also becomes a McDavid conversation. I think one of the things that happened here is that the length of the playoff and the run right to game seven, you're so emotional that it's hard to make decisions in that time. I think what happens is I think the Oilers will go and try to sign a new GM, and they'll get back to this somewhere in the summer. Like, I don't think the Oilers feel that, or even Draisaitl feels, that there's a deadline this weekend at the draft or by July 1st. I think they're going to be prepared to talk this one out and see how everybody feels after a bit of decompression time and when they get a new GM. But I think this is also as much about McDavid's future as it is about Draisaitl's.
Elliot, before we let you go, I've had a lot of people ask me this, because Barry Trotz is not just looking at this coming off season, but he'll have the Duchesne and Johansson money coming off the books in a couple years. The cap is clearly going up. And somebody asked me, with the series going all the way to Game 7 and the extra revenue that the league gets into that, how much does that affect what the cap is going to be over the next 2 or 3 years as GMs like Barry Trotz are trying to put their budget together for things like the next UC Soros contract, or how much can I spend in free agency looking at my cap the next 2 or 3 years?
You know, it was yesterday was the Board of Governors, and I saw Sean Henry there, and it was actually pretty funny. Sean was on the phone, and I don't know who he was talking with. So there was the room where the Board of Governors was met, and then there was a corridor, and then there was an area where we were doing our interviews with the commissioner and such. And Sean moved to that area because he thought it would be private, and then he saw me walking over there, and then he ran away from me like I was, like, radioactive. So I really wanted to know, A, who he was talking to and about what, and B, I didn't know that Sean Henry hated me that much. He had to run that far away from me that quick.
I don't think it's personal, Elliot. I think he's a Yankees fan. He knows I'm a Mets fan, and the Mets beat them twice, so he's probably not in the best of moods.
Maybe that's what it is. Anyway, I think they probably got some degree of an update yesterday. Now, I'll say this, Willie, the League and the Players Association are very careful about this. The cap is here. It was in the CBA. It would go up to where it did. And then they, because revenues have been good, they added another $300,000 to it. Next year, it's supposed to go up 5%, so it should end up around 92.4. And then there have been people who said to me they're hoping in 3 years it's going to be around 100 million. But everybody wants to be really careful. The Canadian TV deal is up in 2 years. They'll really want to do something big with that there. They'll try to make it bigger. Look, they just had a great Game 7. And as someone told me, it's not like that part of Florida and Edmonton are the biggest TV markets in the NHL. Like, that's what they were most excited about, the 7 games, the great story. But also that the sport did really well in a place where, you know, U.S. TV numbers weren't guaranteed to be good. And so I think everybody's really hopeful here, but nobody's going to put a number on it. I'm sure yesterday Sean got a bit of an update as to what they're thinking, but everybody's very careful about putting numbers on it.
Okay, but I'm glad you told me that he was kind of in a bad mood, and I should have thought of this, so I won't call Sean today.
It wasn't that he was in a bad mood. But he literally, whatever he was on the phone with, it had to be sensitive because he saw me walking over. And like I said, it was like I was radioactive. He couldn't have gotten away from me. Like, prolonged exposure to me could have caused him pain or disease.
So we'll let it sit for a couple of days before I throw those questions at him at some point. But, Elliot, great stuff as always. I know you're super busy. Thanks for spending your few minutes with us this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care, Adam. Great to chat with you.
You as well, Elliot. Thank you.
All right. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. He'll have another podcast coming up, I'm sure, before the draft. I believe it should drop today or tomorrow. Maybe. Does it come out this morning? I haven't heard. If they've got one this morning, I didn't hear it yet. But very, very busy. So when we come back, Adam, let's hit on the four names that he threw out there, because he doesn't just randomly throw these names out there. And obviously he had his angle on the Stamkos situation in Tampa. We'll come back with more. Elliot Friedman joining us each week on the show. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace. Adam Vingan is in, co-hosting with me. We'll have our special draft coverage all day tomorrow, really, on our show. And then, of course, the special live draft coverage from Fordyce in Bellevue.